All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake here.
Coming to you. Jake, what are we talking about today?
We're following up on our, yes, climate change is real situation.
And it's going to be part two. And yes. We don't really know how many parts it's going to be, but we're up to part two.
Till we're done, I guess.
That's right. So we're going to jump right back into it and check it out. As we continue our discussion on is climate change real, we're talking about the blessings and curses of weather. And I encourage you, we'll have this in a playlist called Climate Change, and you can put all these together. But so if you missed the first one, you might want to go back and kind of hear the context of it. But this leads us to Jeremiah 14:22.
Right. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Yahweh, our Elohim. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this.
So who sends the rain?
It sounds like Yahweh's saying that it's him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'd argue with him.
No. And it goes back to kind of where we left it off about how a lot of people get hung up on man-made things. Rather, you know, maybe weather manipulation and from cloud seeding to all kinds of things and radar devices and all kinds of rabbit trails you can chase down. But
and the weather machines.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But if you're not careful, like we said, you're robbing Yahuwah of his glory.
Right.
And giving it to man. And that is something we're not supposed to do.
Right.
All right. So 2 Chronicles 7:13.
When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. I think.
So what do you think the context of this is going to be?
So this is going to be the, you need to call back to him and repent of sin.
Exactly. And so this is part of the, one of the curses when we don't do that, we're not gonna have rain. And so instead of us complaining all the time about when the rivers and the lakes and the streams dry up, what if we got on our hands and knees and were like, what have we done? Please right. Show us where we've sinned. Right. But we don't do that.
Right.
We just
especially
complain.
Not as a collective. I mean, and I'm not talking about collective salvation, but he clearly says. And people use this all the time to say, you know, once election time rolls around, this verse will show up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
With people saying, you know, well, if we just turn back to him. Well, yeah, what are his ways? And mm-hmm. What is the way he wants us to turn back to?
Yeah, most people don't know. 1 Kings 8:35-36.
When the heavens are shut up, and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their
probably wicked ways, I believe is what it says. So definitely another instance of we don't get rain when we've sinned. And once again, we'll research what that means. Deuteronomy 28:22.
Go ahead.
The Yahweh will afflict you with wasting disease, fever, inflammation, burning heat, drought, blight, and mildew. These will pursue you until you perish. That sounds real optimistic, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Now, so this is being in Deuteronomy 28. It's a blessings and curses tie-in here, I believe, about you know, if you do his ways. As defined by him, not by us, right? We don't define his ways. Then these things won't come upon you.
Mm-hmm. And once again, you know, hopefully we can give you some tools so that when you have discussions with people and you may have had a climate change denier perspective before, and I want to challenge you, you know, maybe that isn't the right perspective, because we do know that things are going to change, but it has to do with man's sin. And so we can agree on with someone else who says this is all because of man. And you're like, you're absolutely right.
And then it opens up a door to talk to them about sin.
So instead of just being defensive and immediately like, oh, these tree huggers And it's easy to do that, but try not to.
Right.
Try to find what you can agree with on someone instead of just immediately wanting to fight. You don't have to fight immediately.
Right.
Anyway. Isaiah 5:6. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or weeded. Thorns and briars will grow up. I will also give orders to the clouds that rain should not fall on it.
Hmm. Yep. So, yeah, it's, I think he's talking about Texas there.
It feels like that sometimes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely, the context of all of these scriptures have one thing in common, and it is people rebelling against him and not doing what he's asked them to do.
Right.
And these are the consequences. Isaiah 34:10, night and day it will burn. Its smoke will ascend continually. Generation after generation, it will be a wasteland and no one will ever pass through it again.
Jeremiah 7:34, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, I will bring an end to the sound of gladness and rejoicing, to the sounds of the bridegroom and bride. For the land will become a wasteland. He likes this word, wasteland.
He does, yeah. Uh-huh. Sounds like a great honeymoon.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of goes to, the whole idea of, he's going to return and go scorched earth on things and say, nope, this does not fit. And just, start over.
Like the global reset.
Like a reset, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe you've heard that too. And that's definitely real. There's going to be a global reset, no doubt.
Yep.
So don't, I wouldn't argue that either.
Right.
So we know that's going to happen. In Jeremiah 49:33.
Hazor will become a dwelling place for jackals, a perpetual wasteland. No one will live there. No human being will reside in it.
Ezekiel 25:13.
Therefore, this is what Yahweh Elohim says. I will stretch out my hand against Edom and cut off both man and animal from it. I will make it a wasteland. They will fall by the sword from Teman to Dedan. Like a burning garbage dump.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll learn that I am Yahweh when I've turned their land into a desolate wasteland because of all of the loathsome deeds they have committed. So, do our deeds, the work of our hands, does that affect how Yahweh deals with us?
Absolutely. And that's another point where you can agree on with someone who comes from a different perspective. It is the work of man's hand.
Yeah.
And, that is correct. But it's not what they think it is.
Right.
Ezekiel 36:35, they will say, this wasteland has become like the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. and what used to be desolate ruins is now fortified and inhabited.
I wonder why they would say that, how it's changed from this wasteland to this Garden of Eden.
Like a restored earth, definitely maybe climate change for sure. Things have, this is kind of the other side of it, huh?
Yeah, this is
restoration. And
this is if you do that second part of
the blessing, following his ways.
Right. The Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse.
In Micah 7:13, then the earth will become a wasteland because its inhabitants and a result of their actions. For some reason, we don't have any spaces here, but
no, spaces are so last.
They're so overrated. Week. Yep. So wasteland, you keep seeing that over and over.
And it's always because of the actions of the people.
Right there, their actions right there.
Yeah, and it's not that we spewed a bunch of pollutants into the air.
Oh, we did.
Though we did do that, mm-hmm. yes. The actions he's talking about are sin and going against him.
Yeah. And in a way, those are pollution.
Yeah. So,
and we should view that equally as toxic as the sludge when they turn the Hudson River like orange and it caught on fire.
Right.
So and that's how we should view it. But unfortunately, we don't.
Right.
We would, people would look at those videos of that and just gasp and be like, oh, I can't believe this is terrible. And probably cry about it.
Uh-huh.
But they would not cry about the sin. in their life and the people around them.
Right.
That's definitely something that's wrong.
It's, I think it's a, yeah, it's a outward manifestation of our inward.
Yeah.
A being.
Yeah. 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 Kind of like
the state of our inward.
Exactly. Very similar to our conversation on leprosy and sin.
Yeah.
So, all right, so now we get into Revelation, which there's definitely
there's nothing about this here.
So Revelation 6:8.
I looked down, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So the famine part of that, I always go back to the... in Exodus, or not Exodus, in Joseph, when there was the big famine, right, and they all had to go to Egypt to get their grain and stuff. It was weather related. There was weather deal happening there.
Yeah, most definitely. And then even back when we were going through recently about Abraham, he goes there, or is it Abraham, Isaac? Somebody goes to Egypt because there's a famine, and when they go to
Abraham, like, yeah.
So, and then there's a whole concept too with famine, a famine of the word.
Yeah.
And there's kind of some double meanings of some of this, but the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12-14, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars on the sky fell to earth as figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Now, Jake, does that sound like crazy climate change?
Sounds crazy. Yeah. That's insane. So,
you think the whole world might see this?
It might be noticed by a few. Yeah. So the whole earthquake thing, and it's all this oil drilling that's causing all these earthquakes and you're drilling on the fault lines and it's creating volcanoes and earthquakes and all this stuff. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think there's any doubt that we've done some stuff, but I always say we're like kids in the sandbox. You know, Yahuwah made the earth childproof. Just like if you've had a child, you know, the homes and the places we've constructed for our family, we generally know how to baby-proof something, how to make it tough enough to handle a kid. And if we can do that, we're made in his image. I think he did that for us. And I think it's very arrogant of us to go, we're going to destroy this.
Yeah, I think we'd probably hurt ourselves more than we'd hurt the earth.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah. I believe it's very resilient. And the thing that hurts us most is our sin and walking away from him. And then the seventh seal, Revelation 8:7. And then there was thunder, noise, lightning, and an earthquake. And then 8:7 continued, when the first angel blew his trumpet, hail and fire were mixed with blood and were thrown into the earth. One third of the earth was burned up. One third of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. That sounds,
again, we're in
pretty powerful. In
Texas.
Yes. No. It seemed like a Texas summer.
Yeah. Then continuing, when the second angel blew his trumpet, something like a huge mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. One third of the sea turned into blood. One third of the creatures that were living in the sea died, and one third of the ships were destroyed.
8:10-11, when the third angel blew his trumpet, a huge star flaming like a torch fell from the sky. It fell on one third of the rivers and on the springs. That star was named Wormwood. One third of the water turned into wormwood, and many people died from the water because it turned bitter.
Ooh, the bitter waters.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That is interesting. 8:12, when the fourth angel blew his trumpet, one third of the sun, one third of the moon, one third of the stars were struck, so that one third of them turned dark. There was no light for one third of the day and one third of the night.
That's an interesting concept.
Lots of thirds here.
Yeah.
And definitely more climate chaos. It's true. There's going to be climate chaos. It's going to be crazy.
When the fifth angel, this is going into 9 here. When the fifth angel blew his trumpet, I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky. The star was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. It opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and smoke came out of the shaft like the smoke from a large furnace. The smoke darkened the sun and the air. Locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth, and they were given power like the power of earthly scorpions. They were told not to harm any grass, green plant, or tree on the earth. They could harm only the people who do not have the seal of Elohim on their foreheads.
And that is another topic for another day, but you should find out what is the seal of Elohim on their foreheads. And we believe part of that seal is keeping the feast, keeping the Shabbat is some of the ways that you have the seal on your forehead.
Right.
And I encourage you, if you've never checked that out, you should look at it.
They were not allowed to kill them. They were only allowed to torture them for 5 months. That's all.
Yeah, just 5 months.
Their torture was like the pain of a scorpion's sting. At that time, people will look for death and never find it. They will long to die, but death will escape them.
A lot of people talking about this one over the last couple of years here, for sure. And then 9:17, the vision, I had the horse and the riders look like this. The riders had breastplates that were fiery red, pale blue, and yellow. The horse had heads of lions. Fire, smoke, and sulfur came out of their mouths. These three plagues, the fire, the smoke, the sulfur, which came out of their mouths, killed 1/3 of humanity. The power of the horses is in their mouths and their tails. Their tails have heads like snakes, which they use to hurt people.
That doesn't sound friendly.
No.
The people who survived these plagues still did not turn to me and change the way they were thinking and acting. If they had, they would have stopped worshiping demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which cannot see, hear, or walk. They did not turn away from committing murder, practicing witchcraft, sinning sexually, or stealing.
Man, that seems like a real good place to kind of wrap this up, because that's it. You know, if you want to know what's going to cause all this, it's the idol worship, it's witchcraft, sinning sexually, and then it's interesting that stealing is thrown in there.
Yeah.
But, and most people around the world would agree that, those things are bad.
Don't murder.
But the idolatry, that's something else that's a deep rabbit hole that you should research. And understanding the character of Yahweh, reading the front of the book and knowing what he likes and what he calls idolatry, if you don't know that, you don't know what this means.
Right. Yeah, it's so clear to be able to look at the way the world is going and these idols that are made of, stone and wood that cannot see, hear, or walk. We've made a certain thing into an idol in this time that we're dealing with a disease of sorts that people are talking about. And then we've created idols out of all of that. Anything and everything we'll make idols out of.
Yeah, and I think you can make an argument that many people in our camp are terrified of what's coming and terrified of all these things. And in essence, they can make that terrified of fighting the man and fighting the system or whatever, that can become an idol for them.
Right.
And I think many people have just changed one idol for another.
Right.
And,
again, you're changing who the glory goes to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the end, we do believe climate change is going to happen. Climate change is real. This is a real concept, but not caused by our carbon footprint or carbon emissions or carbon credits or the Kyoto Treaty
or Earth Day.
Yes. Yes. Or, the fact that we need to ban all lawnmowers and gasoline powered everything and go electric, there's just so much craziness out there that people get hung up on. And a lot of us, we want to fight these things. And in the end, we know that it is all because of humans. It's all because of our sin. And so, Jake, what should people do? What should we do? And what do you think?
Repent, for the end is nigh.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. So it is time to repent. And so hopefully part of our conversation can be used to help you as you maybe if you've wanted to argue with someone and may even just go crazy on them, but realize there's common ground and both parties believe that man is the problem. But one, we view that it's man's sin, and maybe you can help someone understand it.
So yes, climate change is real, and we could even say yes, man-made climate change is real. And then, so how do we? If that's kind of the good thing, though, is if we can change the climate, how do we change it to a good climate?
Exactly.
And that comes from knowing what sin is and repenting of it and asking forgiveness for it.
That's right. And we're down to the end and we're past the time we wanted to go to, but we encourage you to read the scriptures, search the scriptures, know what sin is, know the character of God, our Lord, our Creator. If you don't know what his character is, you don't learn it just from the New Testament. You're going to have to look at the beginning of the book to really understand who he is and what he likes and doesn't like. And we just encourage you to search the scriptures. We don't claim to be experts to know everything here, but
right. But if you know his character, then the picture of Yeshua comes together a lot more cleanly, I think.
Agreed.
And you get a better understanding of Yeshua when you understand better who Yahweh is.
Yep. Well, do you got anything, any other final thoughts?
Nope. I think that pretty much covers it.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by and listening. We always appreciate likes, hearts, subscribes, comments.
However you're listening, whatever your podcasting medium of choice is, they accept for likes and thumbs up.
So. That's right. And I think we're in almost every podcast format there is. And so if you have a podcast player, we're probably there. So, but we have been told many times that we have faces made for radio. And so it seems to be true. So, but we do appreciate you stopping by and look for more content and Google Sabbath Lounge. And we thank you and we'll see you again next time.